Greetings, fellow investigators, and welcome back to our video podcast, Into the Darkness, where my friends and I play the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. I'm your host, Tom Rayleigh. It has been said that curiosity killed the cat. Enough said. We are playing a Delta Green scenario entitled Lover in the Ice. This is episode 5. It was written by Caleb Stokes. I'm your Game Master, and the recap tonight will be done by Lucas Glasshauer, in the voice of his character, Agent Belladonna. The air is filled with ozone. The players are ready. Let's begin our journey into the darkness. Lucas?
Thank you. Abuela, I thought about you quite a lot since the activation of my first mission with Delta Green. The many ghost stories, tall tales, and legends that you told me in front of the old brick fireplace in your home during the dark hours of the night. The stories that kept me up half the night in fear and fascination. And although I can never tell or give you exact details of my Delta Green experiences, I do believe I have a tale to rival the greatest ghost stories you've ever told, Jornita Favorita. A story that myself and several others are living. A real life tale. If I were conveying this tale in its entirety, you wouldn't know far. An unusual ice storm in Missouri, a storage facility box full of strange and somewhat terrifying objects, a vicious attack of a possessed man and a large worm the size of a strong man's arm. And now we find ourselves, as human beings, sending a makeshift bomb to go off and eradicate of said possessed man, Skip Mills, and his horribly murdered mother. All this in a day. It's time for R&R. We see what looks like a possibly abandoned police cruiser, its lights flashing, on our way back to the hotel. We did not stop, and so I fear for the officer on duty. But on we went and returned to our hotel to have dinner for an hour or so to make sure we were seen and our alibi was solid. Afterwards, Curly went and affirmed that the house had caught fire, while the rest of us began digging into the mysteries of the storage box back in our suite. On the subject of the storage facility, the surveillance footage of the area records the tree falling on our particular green box around 12:20 a.m. on January the 3rd. At 1:05, we see a shadowed figure enter, and about 25 minutes later, we see this figure stumble out, maybe drunk, maybe ill, I don't know, and disappear into the darkness. I have my suspicions that it was Mr. Skip Mills himself. We pile through the oddities one would never expect to find in a storage box, let alone together. A collection of Chicago maps from different eras, all focused on a building that could not be found at street level from the surveyor who used to keep them. A stack of old matrix paper containing undeniable descriptive information of people's hands, at least 15 years of age. The papers themselves. An old 1960s Ryan Whitehead piece of fiction, a nine-sided box with similar and even smaller versions of nine-sided boxes within, an empty munitions box with many scratches, and a demonic sort of violin that when plucking its gut emits more noise at further distance, but none within its immediate facility. Kohame, my faculties are all being tested. May God give me strength, especially with what I will tell you next. I happened across a badly created sculpture of a wooden head with strange paintings on it. Embedded in its head was a wood axe. Splattered among the axe was a black stain which contains a high concentration of fluorine. It is a mystery. But it becomes stranger in the morning when we find that the head was moved. Que diablos pasó? No one moved it on their own. And after returning from the hotel's breakfast bar, we find it has moved again, first from its place on the floor to the counter, and now from the counter to the chair. It seems to be looking out the window. And then it truly becomes horrible. I went to grab it, to stuff it back into its bag, and I foolishly dropped it. The axe fell out and the head rolled, and kept rolling into the kitchenette. Then up the wall, over the ceiling, and to the window. I grabbed the axe and threw it to Corky, who rightly slammed the axe back into its head, which once again rendered it lifeless. After several deep breaths and the sudden craving for a full bottle of Jose Cuervo, we all seemed to regain some sort of composure and looked at what was to be done next. Most of the crew will be digging back into the remaining storage facility items, while Nye and myself go to investigate Skip Mills again, our ground zero for the creature that is surely still out there. I would say that we are trained for this, but who can truly be that? When you fight a man so perverted that his fornication is literally everywhere, his mother torn apart from the inside out, a giant worm with teeth that tears flesh from body, and a creature that can tear through the structural foundations of a house and currently stalks the icy tundra of La Fontaine. Finally, a wooden head that is possessed by the devil himself. Who can be ready? Who can be prepared? Now, Grandma, you used to scare me with tales of El Cuco and La Llorona, making me shout with terrified glee as you acted it out in perfection, every poor victim and every devious monster orating the ghost stories to perfection. But Grandma, someday soon I hope to tell you a tale that will top even the dreaded Chupacabra. I will call you soon. We're going to investigate further the creature on the loose. Pray for us. Pray our survival and our sanity. For this is truly a tale becoming the darkest of them all.
Excellent. So Agent Belladonna and Agent Nye have left. They've gone, they've taken the car, and they're heading towards Skip Mills' house when what happened at the end of our last episode. Agent Silver solves the box, and in that moment there's a flash of light, the sound of a zzzz, and the smell of ozone, and Agent Silver is vanished, along with the box. So what do the rest of you in the room do?
Do I just cross that off the list then? I had that as number four. That's gone.
One less thing to inventory.
Certainly as a professional, that's exactly what you've done.
What else is left?
Well, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 1, 2, 3... 4 investigators.
Okay.
And there's
5 investigators.
There's also the. Well, okay. Yeah. So what do you want?
I would like to check out number 7.
Okay, I'm going to say holy crap first. Because my
yeah,
you seem very nonplussed that I've just disappeared, people. My feelings
I'm wondering.
What? Very hurt.
Are we going to need to make a sanity roll? Because someone yes! has just disappeared in front of us.
I'm not there, right?
Let's do this. Right. Everybody who is there, do a luck roll first. And we'll say that this determines whether you actually saw him disappear. Otherwise, your head was turned. And when you turned back, I mean, for all you know, he walked into the other room.
Oh. Yeah. Could you say that? But we still would have heard that kind of sound, right?
The smell of brimstone in the air.
I got a 72.
Okay. I fail.
I got a 38.
So if you fail, do just a 1d4 for sanity.
So a fail means we did see it?
A fail means you did see it happen.
Okay. Then...
And worse than that, what you saw was there was a flash of light, and in that moment, you sort of saw Agent Silver's face, a total look of surprise, and like a piece of paper, he was folded up and vanished.
Nice.
Into 9 sides? 9 folds?
Maybe.
Did the whole box disappear? All 9 of them?
Everything, yeah.
Okay.
Should I just write that down as puzzling enahedron brackets missing?
I got a 1.
I'm very hurt. Very hurt.
Holy.
I know Belladonna is going to miss you very much, Silver.
Damn right. There we go.
She wanted to hear about his stories. She wants new stories.
I've got a whole heap of questions, but let's finish examining and cataloging these items first.
Did you not see that?
I didn't see. I heard a zzz.
That was.
And then I turned around, and then he was gone.
That zzz was Agent Silver. He is gone.
Like he went up those steps in the woods. Oh no, we don't talk about that.
What? I don't know what happened.
Well, he was playing with the puzzle. And I turned around.
I'm gonna take out a little wooden doll or something at the bottom or at the end of that, but
I turned around to make a few notes about something else. And he was gone.
I'm gonna walk to where
he's gone, and I can smell the seaside in here for some reason.
I'll walk to where he vanished and inspect the area.
There is nothing. No dust. Nothing.
Scorch marks, right?
No scorch marks, nothing. But the smell of ozone in the air, like electricity. Like lightning had struck.
I like the smell of ozone in the morning.
The fact that he is so utterly gone is the most distressing thing.
That now, if I remember right, he started with one size box and he was manipulating it, and then he got to a smaller box inside of that. Is that right?
Correct. 9 boxes in total. All with 9 sides.
When he got to the last one and he poofed, did the other ones poof with it?
Yes.
So all traces of the box.
Everything went. Wow. The only other possibility would be, well, since there's no residue whatsoever, maybe he's just teleported or transported somewhere else.
I'll try his phone.
Oops. Really smart.
You could try that.
I wasn't even thinking that.
That's a great idea.
Do you want to go through his personal, not personal phone, but
no, I mean I'm phoning. I'm trying to call him.
Oh, okay.
Do a luck roll. See if you get any bars.
I'll start checking the room that we're in too. Check the other rooms.
35. Yes, of course.
Okay. It rings and rings and rings, but there's no answer.
So it's ringing.
That must be he's still in this dementia.
Not necessarily. If it rings for what, like 10 minutes, it says, "We're sorry, the person you're trying to reach cannot be found in this universe any longer. Please, yeah.
You can't win."
No. All right.
Please leave a message after the Fatahan.
The roaming charges are going to kill you.
Right. All right. I realize that we're all dealing with this horrible, horrible moment by with levity, but all right. Agent Chemist, you had said that you wanted to do number 7.
Yes.
7 is kind of a duffel bag. There were a bunch of similar things that were on the floor of the container that had fallen out of the duffel bag. They had all been pushed back into the duffel bag, and you're now looking at them.
Okay.
They all seem to be in vacuum sealed bags. Each one of the things inside the vacuum bag looks like meat, except that, how do I describe this? The piece of meat is not just like a chunk of meat. It looks like it's in a shape. Let's say, like, imagine like a kielbasa that's been formed. Oh, yeah. That's been sort of formed into a shape, but like, it's not a kielbasa.
And is it dried meat?
No, it looks like it might still be juicy. It's vacuum sealed, so it's the bag is flat, but the object is inside of it. Each one of them is a little different, but they're all about the same size. They seem to form different kinds of shapes, different sort of structures on the inside. That's what you see when you first look at them. Do you want to do anything more?
I'll keep looking more.
All right, do a spot hidden.
Oh, lunch is taken care of.
Search. I made it.
Okay. As you're looking, you begin looking for more details. It's a little hard to tell by looking through the plastic. The plastic is it's kind of translucent. It's mostly clear, but it's got a white, that sort of milky sheen to it.
Yeah.
But as you're looking at it, you suddenly realize that on one end of one of these objects are those teeth? Is that a mouth? Is this some sort of an animal?
I drop it.
Okay. Do a sanity roll.
Yeah. I passed that.
Okay. Well, it startles you. What languages does your character know other than English?
Give me a second.
Anything?
Japanese.
Japanese. Okay. Is anybody else looking over at Agent Chemist as he's looking at these things? There's dozens of them too inside this bag. So I assume you've removed some of them.
Not out of the bag, but yes, I removed them out of the duffel bag.
Languages for everybody. Let's say, Agent Corky. What languages does your character speak?
I believe I just speak English.
Okay. Does anybody speak any of the classical languages? Latin, Greek? No? Okay. Well, you start to notice, since Agent Chemist speaks Japanese, you think, now that you look at it, that whatever these objects are shaped like letters in various alphabets. You're not sure what they all are because they're in different languages, but you're pretty sure that one looks like an A, and that one there looks kind of like an O, and that one kind of looks like an N. It's very, very strange. So what do you want to do? Anything?
Was that to Corey or to all of
Corey.
Us?
Oh, I'm just gonna keep on, trying to. I'm kind of shocked because I think I know what this is, and I'm like, I'm kind of scared.
Do an occult roll.
Okay.
Is that in this game?
I pass.
Nice.
You're pretty sure that these things are literally letters, characters, but that they've somehow been grown.
Okay.
And with that, you need to do at least do another sanity roll. Zero if you pass, 1d3 if you don't.
I pass.
All right, so you don't take any sanity, but it freaks you the hell out.
Okay, right. What's the letters?
Well, there's a lot of them. There's at least 25 letters. Some of them look like they might be Greek. Some of them might be Latin. Some of them might be Hebrew. Some of them might be Aramaic. You're not sure because you don't know those languages very well. But okay. They definitely look strange. So let's skip from you and go to somebody else.
Can I just, I'll just list that one down as haunted meat.
Okay.
Yure no niku, I think that is. Yeah. Yure no niku.
Okay, we have a few other things.
I'll have a look at number 8.
Can I ask, Tom, the sanity loss that we took for saying Agent Silver poof, would that be considered helpless or mythos?
Helplessness. Okay. Yeah, because it wasn't violent at all.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was.
Yeah, it kind of fits all.
Yeah, actually for you, you saw him fold up. Maybe it's, maybe you'd take it for violence.
Okay. Unless, just so you remember, if I check one of these boxes, I eventually get to the point where violence doesn't affect me.
Right, okay.
So if you say it's a mythos, then I don't check any boxes. It's up to you.
I'd say it was mythos.
Mythos? Okay.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Mixed character. Corky. What you find is a large cylinder made out of metal. I'll just show it to you. It looks like this.
That's cool.
It looks like something used in printing with cartoons on it or something. It looks like they might... It's hard to tell because they're reversed.
Handy cap.
But realize I just got the damn picture. it looks actually like it's written in French, you think. But like I say, everything is reversed.
And it's just embossed. It's not set with type then.
Correct. It's embossed.
What number is this again?
This is number 8. It's a rotoprint plate. What would you like to do with it?
Well, I don't speak French. Well, my character doesn't speak French. I speak French.
Do you have any skills in, like, art or history?
I have history at 10%.
Okay. You can try rolling that if you want.
Oh, well, I'll try. I would say it's highly unlikely.
How about this? Let's do a luck. Do a luck roll for me.
12. So, luck roll 34. That's a pass.
Okay. It once again, it's difficult to tell because for one, there's no ink, so it's all silver. But there's something about some of the pictures, the comic strip that's on there that looks vaguely familiar. Like maybe you've seen this before somewhere and you're not sure where, in a magazine or something. And it may be from some famous comic strip person or artist. You're just not quite sure. Because it's just a little too hard to tell by looking at it this way. And actually, the whole thing is a comic strip. It goes all the way around. It's on all the sides.
Is there a shaving mirror in the bathroom?
Yes.
I'll go and fetch the shaving mirror from the bathroom.
Okay.
And I'll just have a look at it in the shaving mirror.
Okay. Now it is a cylinder, so you can't really see all the sides at the same time.
Yeah.
But as you're looking at it, you now see and you're thinking, oh, I think I have seen this before. And you can see that there is, in little tiny print at the bottom, there is a name, Rodolphe Topfer, a famous, you know, in those sort of realms, those sort of things.
How is that spelled, please?
R-O-D-O-L-P-H-E, Rodolphe, and then Topfer, T-O-P-F-F-E-R. And you vaguely remember this comic strip once. It's rather famous, and you don't really need to read so much as just look at the pictures to get the joke. Are you looking at the whole hall, turning it around, looking at it?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm just, I've seen enough. I know what it is. It's a rotary print plate. That's the name of the person who drew the things. It's in French. Those are the salient details. I'll catalog it and move on.
Okay.
If it's anything like the New Yorker, you won't get it anyway. So.
Next.
I will go right in order then. How about number 9?
Okay, number 9. I'm also going to give you the option of that you can look at stuff that that Agent Nye was looking at. He left the papers, the pads of paper. All right, number 9. Number 9 is also a rucksack. This and there's sort of stenciled printing on the outside of it that says McKinley or Bust. And inside the rucksack are some rather unusual items. These.
Pickaxe. Looks like an older woman in some sort of mining gear attire. And then another photo of some tents with some guys, I guess, with some sort of a weird backpack. Again, it looks kind of like a mining camp or an expedition. The pickaxe is all covered with that black goop. Is that the same black goop that we saw on the wooden skull or the wooden head?
It's hard to tell.
Same color?
Yes.
It doesn't look like blood.
No, looks different.
I'm going to be careful not to touch any of that. And I'll just make note of it. And I'm not going to... Oh, wait. Is that actually supposed to be on there, Tom? The note on the bottom?
Yes.
Okay. There's a small type saying Starkweather Moore. So that rings a bell.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, though. Would my character know that?
Sure. Famous. Okay. That famous disastrous thing in which everybody died horribly. We don't know that, though.
What's the famous Antarctic exploration? Okay. Interesting. I'll make note of it, and I'll carefully put it back so as not to touch any of it.
All right. The only other thing you notice about it is it looks like some of the gear was chewed on by something.
Weird.
Definite teeth marks.
I'll ask Agent Corky and the chemist if the word McKinley rings a bell or makes sense in this aspect. Because it's McKinley or bus, that seems to me like it would be a place.
Yeah, it seems like, yeah.
Does anybody have geography?
Nope.
William McKinley.
Mount McKinley?
The 25th president of the United States.
Well, Mount McKinley is the tallest mountain in North America. I believe it's in Alaska.
Yep. Climbing axe, pickaxe. So, okay, maybe.
Right. Just so I know, this is just by looking at it without touching the black, whatever it is there any, like, claw marks or anything that it does look like it's, you know, been.
There's definitely some gouge marks out of it in places, but you don't know if that's done by another weapon or by a claw or by a tooth. There's definitely damage to some of the things.
Okay.
I guess I should ask too, is there any writing on the backs of the photos?
No.
Okay.
Also, one more thing, that skull, does it kind of have the same facial features as any of the, you know, as
no.
Okay, just thought I would make sure.
All right, we still have, let's see,
I think 5 and 10.
5 is the violin.
I think we just have 10. And then we have the continuation of what Agent Nye was working on. So who wants to look at 10?
Let's all look at.
Actually, it does kind of make sense that you would all kind of look at 10. 10 is a collection of paintings, portraits specifically. There's maybe half a dozen of them. Well, there's probably maybe a dozen of them. Now, when you first start looking at them, the older ones are oil paintings. The newer ones are actual photographs, large photographs. They all contain pictures of families. And the one thing that you notice, the oldest ones with the paintings, does anybody have archaeology or art?
No.
Nope.
I have a little archaeology. Yes.
Why don't you go ahead and try?
Oh, my archaeology is 20, so. No. 13!
Okay.
Unlucky for some, not for me.
You know that the oldest portrait here is probably from either the late 1400s or early 1500s.
Good
Lord. And the newest ones may be fairly current within the last, 20 years. It takes you a few minutes to realize what's going on here, but there are two people in each painting, a male and a female, a man and a woman, that are strikingly the same in every single picture.
Twins.
Yeah, but they're the same twins over and over and over again. The other members of the family change, but these two stay the same. And in the newest of the pictures, the last picture, you're pretty sure it, well, let me go ahead and let's have you do a search. Have you do instead an alertness.
Okay.
Okay.
7.
Out of 50. The last couple of portraits are pretty small. And when you look at them, you realize that you may have seen them before. In fact, are they Delta Green agents? Have you seen them at FBI headquarters? You're not quite sure, but maybe. Who are these two? And you can do a sanity roll from unnatural.
I say you can do it.
No, I failed that.
Everybody, okay. Or just?
Well, you're all looking at the portraits, and I'm sure they've pointed out that they all look. There's the same person in each.
I fail.
If you fail, 1d3. If you didn't, just 1.
Okay, that goes over my breaking limit.
1. Okay, well, you've had a lot happen to you, Agent Chemist.
And I think I get 3.
I think, Agent Chemist, you need to go lie down.
Oh, okay.
All right. Let's jump over to Agent Belladonna and Agent Nye. Well, Agent Nye couldn't be here tonight, so he's just quiet tonight with Belladonna. Secret crush. All right, you guys were going to go and check out what's left of the burned house. Yes?
Yep. And maybe get a little clue of past where that creature went. I think. And it's been a couple weeks now. But that was the first part.
All right. When you arrive at Skip Mill's burned down house, the first thing you notice is, of course, that a lot of the snow was melted right near the house by the flames. Fortunately, it didn't light other houses on fire, and you're not really sure if there's any kind of marks that are left in the snow or ice or anything to indicate which direction whatever it is went. But this is the side of the house, and if it went in a straight line, it went this direction, you know, the direction you're facing. And you've got a whole neighborhood that's in that direction. You're only looking around for about 10 minutes at the most. You notice a policeman who was across the street down a little ways checking on things, that he's walking in your direction.
Is there any way to know if this is the same police car we saw last night?
They all look the same, black and white. His has a little red cherry on. Oh, they all have that. Okay.
So we're outside the house. We've been looking around. Is there any tracks or anything we can discover or have discovered?
Lots of human tracks, because the firemen were all around this thing. But okay. Nothing quite telling.
I think we've lost it. Damn it. We haven't gone anywhere.
So the policeman walks up to you.
Start becoming cautious.
Hello, ma'am.
Hello, officer.
What y'all doing around here?
Oh, we've been all over the last few days. I flashed my FEMA. Lanyard? Whatever it is.
Probably a lanyard.
Can you hold that back out for me? I just want to take a look at it real quick.
So, like, her hand is, like, just cautiously at her side where her, like, sidearm is, but her other arm... And, like, shows, you know, not that it's been shown, it's probably under her coat, but hey, old shields up. So, like, yeah.
And he sees her hand, and he just reaches and he unclips his. And then he goes back to looking at the lanyard. Y'all FEMA, ma'am?
Yes. Both of us.
You got any interest in this house here? What's going on?
Well, I'm saying, remember, FEMA is all the time here. I have to look back. Well,
the federal emergency.
This whole place is a disaster zone, and one of our coordinators, this is his location. We came to check in on him, and this is what we found.
Were y'all working with Mr. Mills?
We were working with Mr. Mills.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen him in a few days. What brings a police officer all on his lonesome all the way out here, if I may ask you?
You can ask. When's the last time y'all saw Mr. Mills?
I think I'd like to have some of my questions answered first before I go any further with you.
Really? Is that how you want to play this?
Not playing, just asking. It's being fair. We can trade questions back and forth.
I'm just asking, when's the last time you saw Mr. Mills?
I haven't seen him.
Mm-hmm. But how long y'all been in town?
Enough time since this has begun.
Y'all were here from day one?
Let's see, how long has the storm been going for?
Oh, the storm hit 5 days ago.
Okay, and we've only here like a day. So she's like, no.
So y'all are new in town.
Whatever you like to say.
I'm sorry?
Whatever you like to think, yes. We're just here doing our job.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
All right.
And, you know, this place went boom last night, and I'm just, you know, checking around, making sure everybody's house is safe. And this one wasn't, and we saw a bunch of tire tracks. We saw a bunch of people hanging around, and I'm just coming in, and I'm checking it out. I'm just making sure everything's okay. You can do your job, and I can do mine, but part of my job is to ask questions. Do you understand?
Sure. This place exploded last night?
And I just kind of, you know, gesture toward the house.
Well, I mean, I don't know what it looks like. I mean, does it look like, I mean, from what we were told, it caught fire, right? So I don't know if it looked like it exploded or actually, Tom, I guess I should ask you what the house does look like.
It's completely destroyed. It's just a pile of rubble at this point.
Okay. Right.
I don't even think it's smoking anymore.
Right. And the description I have is that, you know, when I was nearby, pieces were falling from the sky.
Okay.
So I kind of, you know, the character kind of knows what he's talking about when it comes to that.
No, that's fine, because from her point of view, she's been like, at least from where she's at. Okay, so she's like, yeah, because she's like, it exploded. It's, well, you can point to it, but it looks like it burned down to me. I'm not an expert in fires, of course, so.
I'm not either. We'll let our arson people take a look at it, our investigators.
Excellent.
How many of y'all are in town?
There's a squad. I don't think we'd say squad, would we? I don't even know what to say.
Well, the truth is, there's a lot of FEMA people in town.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a disaster. So,
yes.
Yeah. It would be hard for you to, if for anybody to say how many there were in town.
Okay.
No, but if she's with the squad, I just want to know how many's in the squad.
There's several.
One, two, three. You can stop me when I hit the number. 4, 5.
You can keep going 6. All day. I think I've answered enough of your questions.
Really? Let me see your ID again, please.
No, that's fine.
Really? Is that how you want to handle it?
She's starting to get frustrated and red faced. She's like, I was just here to investigate, to look around for our fellow employee, not to be interrogated by a police officer.
Aren't we on the same team?
I don't know. It doesn't feel like we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like your office is suspicious. I don't like it.
Well, I'm not here to tell you what you like or what you don't like. I'm just asking questions.
I'm not here for your niceties either. So, Nye, do you have anything else? I know he's kind of quiet, but I feel like
he's awful quiet.
He's awful quiet. I'm not used to not having a partner.
Nye says, I think we've answered enough of your questions. Now answer some of ours. Why are you here in this neighborhood?
Well, I'm on a case. I'm investigating what I think is the murder of a homeless person in this area.
Wait a minute. Was this the cop that came to the trailer?
Yes.
Because Nye was there with Chemist.
That's right. Nye was there.
So they would have recognized each other.
I recognized you.
So maybe Nye just came around the corner or something. If we want to, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll just say that Nye had not thought any of it because Chemist was taking care of the policeman. Aren't you that cop that came by the trailer the other day?
Yes, sir. I am Deputy Filigree again, sir.
Ah. So what's this case that you're working on? A homeless person, you said?
Well, it's just something I'm working on in my spare time. My bosses, my lieutenants, and the detectives, they don't think there's anything really into it, but it was just weird. And I'm just going around poking my nose in, you know, my spare time off my shifts. And it was just the weirdest thing I'd ever seen.
Weird how? Explain it, please.
Well, this is, as you know, it's been very cold around here recently. And this, I found a man dressed in nothing but socks and orange boxers with what looked like knife wounds all over him, like puncture marks.
Oh, my.
And I, you know, it's been cold and it's, you know, it's 5 degrees in the shade. Why is this man out running around in his boxer shorts and socks? And how did he get stabbed so many times?
That's a really good question.
I mean, I've seen some weird things and I've also seen homeless people. And the two this just doesn't go right. So I'm just a little on edge. I apologize, ma'am. But first of all, we have this weird ice storm come in, got houses blowing up. I got parts falling down, hitting my car. And then I've got this guy that just seems to appear out of nowhere. Nobody knows who he is. He's not one of the locals. He just seemed to appear out of nowhere. Like one of them Star Trek transporters just like popped him down right in front of the ATM, and there you go. He's there. I have no idea what's going on.
Have you had an autopsy done yet?
They wouldn't do one. They just figured he was a homeless guy, and they're just going to put him in the ground probably.
Well, it's a really low priority, yes.
Yeah.
He's at the morgue.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to ask if he's been taken anywhere. Maybe we could look at Nye. I'm just like, a doctor in me wants to come out. But I was like, do I say it? Like, I only ask for curious medical reasons. I am a doctor.
Well, ma'am, I know you're busy with FEMA stuff. I couldn't ask you. I mean, he's in the morgue. If you get curious and you want to go look at him, I'll be glad to walk you over there or walk you through. But, you know, we got plenty of people hurting here. This is a poor town. This is the poor part of town, and I'm just trying to do my job the best I can to make sure everybody's okay. And I apologize again for being rough with you, but I'm not used to dealing with people, strangers in our town, because we just got run over by everybody.
In the spirit of apologies and not asking too many questions, I would be more than happy to see this corpse. Call it medical curiosity, especially in the way you describe it. I have an interest in oddities, medical oddities.
Well, this is an odd one, man. You know, I don't know if you've seen such things before, but we can go, you know, I can give y'all a ride over in my cruiser, or you can follow me and we can go to the hospital.
I got a strong gut. I think I can handle it. We'll follow you over there.
All right. So I'll go get in the cruiser and I'll wait for them to kind of pull around behind me and I'll lead them over to the hospital to the morgue.
Okay.
I guess the medical examiner's office. I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably just the county morgue.
Could be. I mean, it's so cold they could have him outside somewhere, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
you arrive about 20 minutes later at a big looking professional building. Probably the the county morgue is in the basement. You have no difficulty at all getting into the morgue because one of you is a police officer and the other two of you are FEMA. So you go right inside. The facility, even though it's cold outside, the facility is currently running on generator power. So they have electricity, and the downstairs, the morgue area, is refrigerated. So, you go into the morgue and the mortician, not the mortician, the forensic
coroner.
The coroner. The coroner points you in the right direction for which storage locker the body is in, and goes ahead and lets you have access to it. So the man is. Looks like he's a young man in his 20s, clean shaven, hair is cut, although it's messed up, it looks like it would have been, you know, rather stylish for a modern person. He's lean, he's muscular, in good shape, except that he has 23 stab wounds in his body. And go ahead and do a search roll, but the Belladonna.
Search?
Yeah.
What is my search? 40? All right. Let's see what we can do here. Nope, 62.
I have a high search. Can I make a search roll?
Sure.
Yes. Yes, please. The more the merrier.
Yeah, I have a 60 and I made 30.
Okay, she got half. Good.
Mm-hmm.
As Agent Belladonna is looking at these various stab wounds, some of them are fairly deep. Some of them are right on the surface. They're more scratches than anything else, but it definitely looks like it was done with a blade, perhaps two different kinds of blade. Deputy Filigree says, what do you make of these? And there is a mark on his lower abdomen near the top of his orange boxers that it looks like four prongs or hooks had bitten into his flesh right there. And there's a striking resemblance to some of the marks that were on Agent Chemist's face mm-hmm. were here, which is what you notice. It also, Agent Belladonna, if you look closer, go ahead and do another search, because there's more. There's something you might be able to.
My own. Ooh, I got an 11.
Okay, in that case, you now notice that two opposite of the puncture marks, there's evidence that blood was actually sucked out of that area by whatever this thing was. The other two don't show the same thing.
What in the hell is that? It looks different than the rest. It looks, mm-hmm. Do you see that? It doesn't look like it was made with a knife or an ice pick. It looks like a bite mark, right?
It was a bite mark, yes.
Have you seen something like that before?
I don't think she's going to be a good liar. She's like, possibly.
Dang.
I tell you, I am a peculiar one as far as medical oddities, and there's a chance I may have seen something very similar to this.
Agent, I'm sorry, Deputy Filigree, do a luck roll.
All right. 58. So okay, I am unlucky.
Unlucky. Agent Belladonna, do a luck roll.
Nope, I got a 90.
Okay. So you're kind of baffled by what you're seeing here. It looks like some sort of a thing tried to bite him. Could it have been a dog? Could it have been a cat? It's too big for a cat. But
yeah. Maybe the bite one with the blood sucking?
Well, right. This is more what Filigree is thinking, because
definitely
looks sort of like fangs, maybe, of some sort.
Blood was definitely drained out of this wound here. Yeah. I'll show the signs of it, like if you can see the whiteness around the wound here. It's definitely not the same as these other punctures. Were there tracks, did you notice, leading up to where this man was, or did you say it just seemed like he appeared there?
He just, ma'am, there weren't any tracks. You couldn't tell where he had walked up to where he was found. It was plain snow all around the ground.
Agent Belladonna.
I just dropped him there.
Agent Belladonna, when you are looking at the wounds and you pointed out that these were definitely sucking blood and these weren't, when you just slightly press on the skin where those other wounds are, you notice a kind of a yellow goo that oozes out of them a little bit.
Oh, I know what that is.
Pus? Are these like sores? What's going on here?
It's a sort of pus. I definitely know I have the gloves on, but now I have to have the gloves on, of course.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure maybe if I take a sample of this, and you know, maybe I do take a sample. Like this.
Well, realize that you are in a room filled with medical examination equipment.
Yep. Is there a way to analyze this stuff? Can I take the time?
You can start. I mean, you can.
I don't know what this is exactly. I've seen in the wound I saw that was similar to this, and I point to it. The resulting wounds also seem to secrete this stuff, and I point to the pus. If we have a moment, it's not going to be too much of your time. I could begin analyzation.
Well, I know the coroner, Roger. You just go over to him, just be real nice, and just wink a little bit at him, and he'll let you use pretty much anything in here. I mean, I know he's busy, but, you know, he likes women. He likes nerds, you know, science nerds. You know, go talk to him and, you know, just, you know, I'll just stand over here. Like, just pretend you didn't hear that from me. Just go talk to him. He'll let you use the equipment. You watch.
All right. So now let's jump back to the others. While good. He's going to seduce the Roger. All right.
You guys are all, for it, so I guess I got to. Yep.
You guys are all back in the back in the room. You've gone through most of the items. You've gone through all of the items except for the yellow pads. And you do notice that Agent Nye has been taking notes on some of the stuff that he's found. What do you guys want to do?
Well, first of all, I'm assuming we've already established earlier on that we had a laptop, haven't we?
Yes.
So before looking through the notes, by way of a bit of background, I would like to Google.
You're having trouble connecting to the internet, though. So.
Oh, dear. That's unfortunate. Well, let's have a look at the notes that Agent Nye has made.
Okay. Agent Nye's notes basically tell you that the key to this whole mystery may be in this story. There seems some oddities in here. But he's not specific yet because he hasn't read them all yet. But you figure that all of you together could probably get through them in a couple of hours.
Okay. I think we should probably do that then.
Okay. Well, then I would like a volunteer to read. Mick?
Go on then.
You're our favorite dramatic reader.
Just get my glasses.
Give me a moment.
Just a second.
I don't think we looked into the number one.
Number one?
Was Map of Chicago Meatworks that was impossible to find?
Number one was the archival documents.
Ah, okay. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Now, outside the game, I'm going to say that if you read this with a Southern accent, it makes total sense. It's a little bit Southern. So.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
Oh, no.
Yosemite Sam.
Yosemite Sam.
All right, here we go.
Escape it, I said.
Not that Southern.
Look at me when I'm talking to you, boy. You got to do foghorn, leghorn.
Yeah.
I'll hush my mouth, eyes from the south too. South of where? South of where? South of London. South of... Possums and yam. A good old fish and chip. I'm not going to do the accent.
All right.
Because I can't. Escaping Altamira by Ryan Whitehead. They sent me to the jungle to write a violent and disparaging article about the Wild West. Come round the wheel of history again. Stopping its unique je ne sais quoi and yours truly with the compass needle pointed south to a frontier town called Little Altamira. Sounds good to old Ryan, I said. I'd momentarily grown tired of wrestling with the people in my head, and it's a good plan in such instances to put down, to put some new folk in there, filtering out the mundane ones with healthy doses of whiskey, of course, or some fermented agave fruit, accounting for local custom. Apparently, the latest military coup wasn't content with its 15 minutes of dictatorship. Them crazy damn Brazilian generals fancied themselves capable of some man-sized Romanesque public works. Seems the psycho bastards are cutting themselves a road through the green hell alongside the Amazon River. Got everyone in on it, government men whipping indigenous tribesmen and brown proles with bulldozers for 12 hours of feverish bushwhacking. They got themselves a goddamn circus in their muddy wake. This nomad encampment called Lil Altamira. As the road pushes through the humid jungle stink and poisonous everything, the town follows behind, serving the workers with booze and drugs and the bodies of its women. Everyone hitchhiking along in the earth-moving spoonfuls of American-made cats and juice-and-a-half trucks. I don't know where them boys get the energy for that much fucking myself. Getting on the plane to Belém, we would have killed my grandass had I not been heavily fortified with a variety of chemicals. Law has no meaning out in the wilderness. Men are getting shot and left in the trail. They're paving the road to Latino modernity with the bones of barroom shootouts and used condoms, like all the good civilizations should. It's the last of the wild places where a man's leisure is as dangerous as his work, and Blammo magazine thought old Ryan here was going to take the snapshot for you all. The plane is coming in over the basin now, the muddy river cut into the green like a smile on a whore's face. I've got to meet my guide, Sergeant Trevarez, and get my pal Albert squared away medicinally, despite the watchful eye of that damn sadist editor, Gabriel Larentinos. We'll get a bead on the local debauchery by a point of contrast, and then it's off down the road to the town of dreams, the one that's never in the same place twice, but always two lanes wide, where we hope to meet men intent on fucking and drinking their way into places humanity weren't meant to tread. And the rest is water damage. Weather damage.
So later on you find this.
That god-cursed Tupi dropped us off on the road. No. That god-cursed Tupi dropped us off on the road a goddamn marathon away from town. Look, Chief, I know they're raping your land, but don't charge me for watching and expect noble savage treatment in my immortal prose, asshole. Speaking of violation, my entourage of Americans, whores, and heavy machine operators came across a strange sight as we humped our shit down the jungle road. I was just thinking to myself, this must be what those boys in Nam feel like when we saw the idols. The things were some 7 feet tall and dotted the road like attractions. The crew even blasted some of the things in their, apart in their eagerness. The sight sets me to mind of Francisco de Orellana, and I can see why the old priest named it Amazon in 1542. The rock shows these great granite women with clubs attacking this strapping young man with such enormous equipment he don't have no room for legs no more. He just drags his huge junk through the dirt while walking on his hands. Poor fellow's pecker must have crossed the weight limit for pleasure and into pain. The prehistoric ladies ain't having it no more, and the bastard's so ugly I can't say as I blame them. Loyalties to a fellow brother be damned. The ones they ain't blasted aren't well preserved. In the floodplain, it seems, I can only glean the stone comic book on one, and all the likenesses of the fellow have their faces worn away. No eyes, just a big sucking hole for a mouth. Got to remember to call a museum down here before these savages bash their whole history to hell and gravel. So it's got some really weird spacing.
Yeah, sorry. It does that sometimes when you...
have to write this down. I can't make sense of it. We saw the smoke of the town a full day earlier than expected. The workers must have cut ahead by 10 miles, which might as well be on the moon in the rainy season. Me and Albert were worried that they'd gotten sick of the Nomad Act and put down roots, which left a short jump to laws and culture and no story for old Whitey. Far fucking from it. We're no sooner in sight of the tents when these topless women run at us with drinks in hand, titties flopping out. The menfolk, too, are mostly naked in various stages of arousal. Whole place is recovering from a Caligula-level orgy the night before. The crew seems disappointed it didn't beat some record and is primed to try again. Makes me wonder if anyone was left to actually cut the trees up ahead. Little Altamira was too damned horny to move. Albert and I ditched the she-bitch editor and soldier to dive right in. We think we're big men, doing it for journalism and the US of A and whatnot. Things get fuzzy, but it's about the craziest damn time I can remember having. Men and women trailing off into the woods to fuck, music everywhere, booze, drugs, etc. A real loving. I lost my intended partner in a crush as one senorita after another found my lap, fighting over me like a piece of meat as we drank in the massive, sweaty tents. Then came the gunfire. Army men came out of the direction of the work camp, firing in the air. They looked beat to shit. Some were hauling moaning men in improvised stretchers. They were just firing into crowds on the road. Anybody fucking runs for it. Anybody coming out of the woods, they all get stitched up. And the ones with machetes set upon the bodies, it's a fascist wet dream. Before I can pull myself out of the shock, they start lining us up and take us behind the shed. I'm scared shitless already when their officer stalks out of the night. Hard bastard, was more scratched than skin. He was bleeding from everywhere. With these dead eyes, he cuts himself somewhere with a shaving razor, looking each person in the eyes as he does it. About the fourth one down, he cuts his face. The girl in front of him, she gives this moan in response, a deep one, pleasant. Then she's being dragged out of line by her hair. The soldiers, they circle up around her in a C shape. real careful to give us a view. The ones not doing that form a line and cock their rifles. I'm pissing myself, staring down the barrels, begging in all the languages I know when I see the girl on the ground. She's still hot to trot, writhing around in the mud like a horny dog, fainting towards different men, like she can't decide which one she wants more. Then El Jefe shouts something, and the guys start beating her to death with their rifle stocks. I see it all, but El Jefe, he sees me. He's staring straight at us. He starts pointing at folks in the line, and they open up with them goddamn guns each time. The man left of me goes down. A couple on my right scores more. Blood was pooling in the tracks left by the bulldozers. All that was left was me and maybe half a dozen others, though I'm too fucking scared to count at the time. There's this eerie calm between the beat-up girl's last breath and the sounds of the jungle resuming. Then there's this rustling in the underbrush and weird clicking sounds, kind of like when a kid clips a playing card in the spokes of their bicycle tire, like the chirping of a cricket or a cicada, only lower and louder from every direction. Next thing I know, they're shooting again, but this time into the trees, screaming, "Amante, Amante!" Some brute grabs me and runs us down the road, sends us sprinting down the muddy road in the dead of night. I swear I can hear those chirping noises, rushing past us as we run, heading towards the gunfire and the growing glow of fires. Albert is already halfway back to the boat, landing by the time I catch up to him. His face is cut to shit and he's got no answers for me. What happened? What the hell happened? Guess that old boy Conrad was right about the jungle. More weather damaged pages. Woke up this morning to find Albert stabbing one of the soldiers with something. He held it in his mouth and went at the man like a fucking woodpecker. Whatever it was, the scene unfolded like a hypersexual nightmare. The Brazilians that made it back to the boat with us almost wiped themselves out in the crossfire, trying to hit him on full auto in the middle of the raging river. He came at me then, with that thing writhing out from him, like he intended on fucking me with it. We struggled, and I managed to cut and tear that thing out of him with Daddy's Bowie knife. Albert, screaming like a madman, fell backwards and overboard. Even in the deep water, the piranha made his blood froth in the surf. Those men that were left threw their own dead and their own dead to the fish. They didn't hesitate. I was pinned under some luggage, and the thing was still flopping around in my hand. I slammed it shut inside an ammo box. I can still hear it thrashing around in there. Maybe you're a doctor or a biologist back home will, I don't know. I've been trying this time to come up with a clear picture of what happened in that steamy, dreadful jungle, but the words just don't cut it. I'm not even sure why I'm making the attempt. If the pursuit of happiness is the greatest goal for a man like me, I'm afraid that opportunity is gone forever. I'm haunted by the experience, and any deals I've made with the bottle have... I can't read the rest because the pictures are really...
Sorry, any deals I have made with the bottle have proved ineffective. Fuck it, I'm done. Agent Curley, you find this piece of paper along with the pads. A little trickier to read.
I'm sorry, but things are too strange. I tried to write it down, but after each night dreaming in the jungle, the words never seemed to write. I tried, but there's no getting this out of the blood and onto the page. I've hit the limits of fiction. I tried, but there ain't nothing like them in the history of the world. Just more terror in different flavors. I tried, but maybe it was actual journalism all along. No fiction in this madness. Maybe it will help someone if they end up real. I tried. I'm sorry. Don't open the box.
You all kind of recall that he committed suicide, this author.
So are we to assume from that Amante was the thing they were firing at? Amante.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Well, so we know then that the ammo box with the Portuguese on it, that would have been either from Brazil or Portugal. So that was from Brazil.
Yeah.
The box, Portugal.
What was the time period on this? Do we know that?
I think he wrote his book, I believe, in the 30s.
Oh.
But let me verify that. Discuss amongst yourselves.
Penned in the 1960s.
60s.
Ryan Whitehead?
68.
So that was in there quite some time. Well, I mean,
he committed suicide in 1981.
Okay, let me figure out.
Now, are we going to take a leap and assume that it was one of those worm things in the box?
That's what I was thinking too, but the date? Could something have survived in that box all this time without any food or water?
Well, I show them what I found, those weird... I'm like, do you think these are still alive, or do you think they're kind of like...
I thought that you were resting, because you reached your sanity limit.
Oh, yeah.
You had already showed them those. The weird thing.
Okay.
So he showed us what? I'm sorry.
The specimens that he found wrapped in freeze-dried in plastic.
Meat.
Oh, right. Okay.
Well, look. I mean, this is a green box. This is a Delta Green store. So we can assume that these aren't run-of-the-mill biological samples.
True.
So I find it quite believable that whatever was in that box could sit in there for 20 or 30 years. And still be viable. Maybe it entered some sort of state of dormancy. I'm not a biologist, but...
You know, and that sounds like the same thing that was in Skip Mills' body and that what bit agent chemist.
I do hope that it was the same thing, because the other opportunity, I mean, I worry that what if it's breeding?
Hmm.
I mean, if it's laying eggs or something, there was the mother back at the house. Something had burst out of her.
Right.
Do you recall? I mean, is this just one thing that gets into someone and then?
And yet
just consumes them and moves on to someone else, or does it go into them to breed and
yeah.
A whole heap of them escape through the attic? But also, I mean, if you in reading that story, the woman, when the soldiers arrived, there was a woman. They were pulling people out, and there was a woman who was sexually excited by him cutting himself with a razor. Which makes me think of Skip and his escalating addiction to violent porn. Which kind of makes me think that it's the same thing. Now, if the woman was infected and they were firing at things in the woods, it's not just a one-off, is it? I mean, it's perhaps it can infect multiple people.
Also, the way it was described, like he pulled this sort of worm thing out, stuck it in an ammo box, so it's got to only be about this big or so. And yet, we saw the footprints in the attic, and almost like it was making some sort of a nest or something. In my head, that seems like a much larger creature.
Well, are we dealing with two? Could it be that this is just a like the larval stage of it? If the worm is just some sort of larval stage,
Right. So maybe it infected his mother first, or multiplied, and then the thing burst out of her, and then it was still in Skip at the time that we came upon him.
Or one of them was still in him.
Yeah, maybe not the same one. We haven't been in communication with Nye or Belladonna, so we don't. Do we know anything about the body that was found at the ATM?
No. Well, only just what Agent Chemist has told you, that's what the policeman had said, but okay. He had dismissed it as unimportant.
Okay. I won't let it.
Here's a thought. If it's breeding and it uses human bodies for gestation, then the two things that the man in the story on the boat and Skip Mills have in common is that they were both killed. In fact, both of them were shot. So if the body was dead, it would be of no further use to this thing. It obviously needs a live host. When it was killed, that's when it tried to get out of the body and infect another host, in this case, Agent Chemist.
Is that... correct me then, because I thought he pulled it out of his partner's mouth, and then his partner fell backwards into the water and was killed in the water.
His friend Albert tried to, as he said, fuck him with it. Right. And he pulled it out and managed to cut it off with a Bowie knife. And then the other men shot Albert, and Albert fell into the water and died. It was eaten by piranha as he jammed this thing into the ammo box.
Well, if it comes out with the aim of infecting other people.
Yeah.
Then my concern is then that we might potentially have an infection.
Yeah.
On our hands.
Well, I don't know if you remember or not, and I look around to see, make sure Agent Chemist isn't in the room with us. I don't know if you remember or not, but I was sort of half joking about this, that I'm watching Agent Chemist to see if he becomes a little randy, shall we say. That seems to be the first sign.
Yeah, his behavior back at the house was kind of weird.
We should watch him around Agent Belladonna.
Yeah, I think you're right.
All right, let's stop there for a moment and jump over to Agent Belladonna. And Deputy Filigree.
Star Wars sideswipe.
All right, so Agent Belladonna, go ahead and do a medical roll.
Have I gotten permission for to do stuff?
Yes, yes, yes. You're welcome to. You show your medical.
Are we doing the autopsy? Well, is this for autopsy? Are we in?
The first thing you were going to do is look at the goo.
Okay. Medicine is 60. I can't. No, first aid kit's not going to matter. So, okay. I rolled a 96.
Okay.
I must not be used to this equipment.
There's, yeah, you're trying to get it to work, and the power won't seem to work for it. But maybe you can come back to it later. So you want to do the autopsy then?
Yeah, if I get frustrated, I'm just like, why is this not working? Okay. I'm missing something. It's too damn cold in here. All right, anyway.
I'm going to say now I have no idea how long an autopsy actually takes. Please interject if anybody does know, but we'll say an hour.
That's a minimum, I would think.
I mean, all the major organs come out and get weighed and are looked at. And
yeah.
I mean, they're going to focus on the wound areas as well.
All right. Everything about this person seems completely normal, except in the wound area.
Okay.
Wherever this yellow stuff is, there seems to be the evidence of a slight transformation of some sort in the tissue. But it's halted. It's not happening any longer.
Okay.
Which boosts your curiosity about the yellow goo.
Okay. So I noticed that the flesh around the wound was changing in a way.
Right.
Was it becoming tougher or different texture or
The texture was changing, the color was changing.
It's becoming like scar tissue, like thicker? Or
like it was rewriting the DNA.
Oh, snap. The government's gonna like get their hand on this. No, so while she's doing the autopsy, I think, just because I forgot this earlier, just like casually, she's like looking down, looking at it. She just starts talking to Deputy, was it Filigree? Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's like, in all of my excitement to come over here, I forgot to ask, did you happen to locate Skip Mills?
No, ma'am. We haven't found Mr. Mills yet. We don't know what happened to Skip.
So he didn't die in the fire?
I don't know, ma'am. I haven't talked to the fire department yet. I don't know if they found any bodies in there or not. I don't know if he was in there trying to keep warm and the gas blew up.
Hmm.
I mean, I can get that information. I can call over there.
Our female location will probably get to know since it is one of our employees, but just curious. I have to admit, this is a weakness. I got sidetracked, definitely, but besides that, I had nothing else to do, so I'm glad we're here. So that's okay. So no skip yet. I guess I keep working unless there's anything else I can do. I'm not sure what else there is to do at the moment. I mean, I would complete an official autopsy if that was the legality and okay. All that.
All right. Yeah, you complete an official. Did you want to take a look at the goo anymore?
Yes.
All right, go ahead and do another medical, see if you pass.
And just to be clear, I am using Maria J. Whitman as my alias for the official autopsy.
I was wondering that.
Yeah, which has been on my lanyard and everything. I am not my right. quote-unquote name or my agent name.
Nobody calls you Belladonna.
Nope. Yeah. You just have, are you like Madonna? You just have one name? Yes. Okay, so are I rolling medical again?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Mama needs a new bucket of goo. Let's do this. Oh, I got a 6.
Okay.
That's quite.
You decide that you're going to examine some of this transformed area of the body. And under a microscope, what you see appears that this yellow stuff is somehow transforming the cellular structure. It penetrates the cells, it changes the the mitochondria and so forth that causes them to begin to reproduce some sort of other entity, something that if there's a large quantity of this, you surmise if it's pumped into the body, it would do something. It would grow something or transform the body into something else.
Now, how much of this information is she sharing with me?
Well, maybe she just blabs out loud.
I figured, in her mind, she's definitely making some correlation between all the things at the house and the fact that spooky ghost stories has been a thing of hers. So she's just like, one part of her curiosity is eating this up, like her creativity and her storytelling part is just like, wow. And then, but she's also correlating actual facts that they found at the house with this stuff, and she's just putting it together. But I would say that she's kind of what Tom has said, is kind of just mumbling it out as she's going and writing stuff. It's just probably a natural thing, because like a lot of autopsy people, at least maybe on TV shows, they're saying it out loud to her voice recorder, right? So they are orally speaking it while they work on it, right? So
yeah,
maybe used to that sort of habit, she's just kind of saying, she's like, it appears that this chemical, I'm just going to call it yellow. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not sure. It's kind of a yellow pus, right?
Right. Yellow substance.
I'm just going to call it yellow one. It's not a food coloring. Appears to change the integrity of the genetic makeup of the skin. If enough of this is put into the body, it appears it could change the body itself or even begin growing something completely different, maybe a new organ or a new something within its host.
So I have a 40 in forensics. So okay. I'm going to assume that I'm keeping up and I'm understanding exactly what she's saying.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe on the offhand, as she's describing it, it reminds you of the scene from the movie The Thing when the doctor is examining the cells underneath a microscope.
When he puts the hot wire into the blood.
And maybe during this time, I'd like to ask Nye, would you check in on our chemist to make sure all of his experiments are going well and everyone else that we're with, see, make sure everything else is going according to power?
I'm sorry, what do you want? You want him to call Agent Chemist?
I just want him to call and check in, basically.
Oh, okay.
Check in with the crew.
I mean, I'll have you go ahead and roll a luck roll.
Oh, for bars, okay. I rolled a 45.
Okay. Who's he calling? Let's see. Oh, you said chemist. Chemist, well, you're lying on the bed, and you're trying to blank out your mind, and your phone begins to ring.
Okay.
You're almost asleep, too.
I'm like, ah, I guess I have to answer. So I answer the phone. I said, I'm kind of like a groggy kind of, yeah, what's up? Chemist here.
Is that me calling or is it Nye?
Oh, that's Nye. How you doing?
It could be better. I was just trying to sleep. Just almost fell asleep, but I'm not feeling that good right now.
All right. Where's everybody else?
I think they're still doing... I think they're still looking at more of the stuff.
Oh, so you're laying down?
Yeah, I'm not feeling that great right now.
Why don't you pass me, call Agent Corky in.
Give just one second. I then go and hey, Corky, Nye is calling. Here you go.
Oh, thank you. Hello?
Hey, what's up? Anything?
Yeah, I think we've got quite a lead here. We've been looking through the Altamira thing.
Oh, the stuff I was working on. Yeah, I thought there might be.
Yeah, the Ron Whitehead stuff. Yeah, it seems to be talking about an incident in the Brazilian jungle involving something referred to as Amante.
Amante?
Yeah, which fits the description of the same worm thing that we've encountered. It also mentions in it that he put it in an ammo box. The ammo box has Portuguese written on it, so I'm assuming that that is the ammo box in question.
Amante. Hey, Agent Belladonna, what does Amante mean in Spanish? You're muted.
I am muted. Okay, what was it?
Amante.
Amante? Lover?
Lover. It means lover.
Oh, so that was in character. I'm sorry. Like, wait, okay. Lover. I just look up like lover.
Oh, stop. But what does it mean?
Yeah.
He says it means lover.
Well, they were firing at it.
Well, some people don't do very well with love.
Hey, I mean...
So there was... Are you saying there was a creature inside the ammo box, huh?
There was a creature inside the ammo box. There were also people were getting shot. They were cutting themselves. And people who reacted with sexual pleasure to the cutting were singled out and beaten to death.
Here, let me pass you to Agent Belladonna. I'm tired of talking.
did you hear any of that?
Yeah, you did.
Good. I don't have to repeat myself. I think we've got a very definite lead on this thing. It's looking like I would suggest that the scenario we've got is that Skip Mills went into that unit. Maybe he opened the ammo box. Maybe the ammo box had fallen from a shelf and come open. Either way, he was infected by this thing. I think it could be breeding. I mean, there could be a number of these things now. There could be multiple people infected with these things.
So she kind of like points to for Filigree to like take a look through the microscope real quick, and so she can step aside with a phone. She's like, you know, kind of be on the other side of the room. She's like doing an autopsy right now on a corpse. Nye and Chemist were speaking to a police officer yesterday, and he was investigating a case on a bum or a homeless man. I'm here doing an autopsy on that man. He has the same wounds that Chemist had on his face, the same type of yellow pus, and it looks like it genetically alters the skin or the inside of the host. I think there's a connection. I don't know. This man had no trace of him showing up. Like, he had no way to approach where he was. It's like he was, what did he say? Was this Star Wars references? I don't know. I don't watch that stuff. But he was dropped off there. And the officer's in the room. He's good. He's really good. He might be useful as well. But
okay, well, just look, just give me one word answers. You think this person was also infected?
Yes.
Are there any other cases?
No.
How far away from Skip Mills' house was this?
A few blocks? Actually, I don't remember.
You could say within the same neighborhood, but within a mile or two. It was at an ATM.
Mile radius.
had an ATM. Mallory. Do we know this guy was definitely homeless?
Well, not from the area.
In your opinion, he's clean cut. He's got a haircut. He's dressed in actually what would have been a good pair of underwear and socks.
Right. Remember I said my bosses were the one that said it was a homeless person.
Okay.
They discouraged me from investigating it further.
She steps out of the room like now at this point. She's like, he's not a homeless man. He came from somewhere. He was in boxers and socks in the middle of this weather. He had 23 stab wounds on his body, punctures, like from a knife or a blade. Different. But in the lower abdomen area, the four-pronged mark that Chemist had on his face matches this about exactly. Blood was drained from that area, and the skin was changed. I don't know how to describe it other than that it's a different color, different texture, and a different genetic makeup.
Agent Bell is on it. Do a do an idea roll.
Idea? Is that intelligence?
Yeah, intelligence.
I have that. All right.
I hope so.
I rolled a 41 out of 85.
Okay. Something pops back into your mind. Something that Agent Nye had said to you. Maybe Agent Chemist had said to you that the cop was looking for a readout of the electrical grid because he figured this person on the slab in there came from somewhere warm.
Oh, because he looked okay.
That would be me.
Right.
Yep. I will relay that information about the electrical grid, how he's warm, because he wasn't all frozen up, looked like he had just come from a warm place. So he wanted to know about the electrical grid. This cop is sharp. He may be reliable as well.
I'm only hearing the one part of the conversation of Corky, so I'll just chime in and say, do you think? Ask her if there's anything growing inside of that body.
She's already said something about changing. Is there anything growing in the body?
I have found nothing inside the body. All the organs look normal. It's just around the area of the creature wound, the wound of the thing.
And it's
the wormhole. Ah.
It's changing it on a cellular level.
Mm-hmm. I have not seen anything like this before.
So it's changing it into another organism.
Either changing it into another organism or making it viable to grow another organism. I'm not sure which, but with the other thing that is supposedly out there, maybe changing completely.
So even though the body is dead, it's still actively changing?
Not really. There's just not enough of the substance.
Okay.
It's based on this, I call it yellow one, the yellow pus we found. There's not enough. That's what's doing the changing, and there's not enough of it in the body. Now, we found a lot of it in the body of Mama there and Skip himself. So there was a lot of action happening there. Unfortunately, we don't have that evidence anymore.
Well, I think that would support the contention that it's breeding, multiplying, replicating something. We need to deal with this before it gets out of hand.
I'm finishing an official autopsy, and then we're going to come back. What do I do about this police officer? Recommendations? I mean, our rules tell us that we can have friendlies, that we can let in on things. We just can't let them know about everything.
We'll clear everything away. Bring him back here.
Okay.
We'll clear everything away. And as far as he's concerned, it's just some kind of bacterial contagion. FEMA are dealing with it because the CDC can't get in fast enough.
Okay. See you soon.
So we're just, as far as he's concerned, FEMA are dealing with it, and we'll hand off to the CDC as and when they arrive.
All right.
Okay, I'll see you in a while.
Okay.
Okay, see you later. Take care. Love you, bye.
Bye. Bye, Felicia.
All right, let's see. Let's come back to the hotel room. What are you guys doing?
Well,
other than sitting quietly and staring at me.
I grab my phone and I'm like, I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to...
Curly. If this thing bites people and that changes them on a cellular level, and someone has been bitten.
Say no more. Say no more.
We could have a potential situation on our hands here.
Yeah. And did I hear you say there's another police officer involved that's coming back
there's
here?
There's a police officer involved. He's coming back here. I mean, I think at this point we need, we're a man down. We need all the help we can get. If we've got local law enforcement on our side, I think that's a great thing. We don't have to blow our cover. We can still maintain that we're FEMA. Just say that we've liaised with CDC. They're not going to be able to get anyone in for 48 hours. We'll hand off to them when they arrive. But in the meantime, we're going to take over this matter. Potential biological agent of some sort, potential infection. That's all he needs to know. But in the meantime, we need to get all this stuff bagged up and packed away. I mean, it's all been catalogued now. We know what's here. Just don't want it all lying around when Geezer arrives.
I was really hoping there would have been something in those notes and legal pads about what happened to Agent Silver.
Yeah, I don't think that's connected with that. I mean, that's... And there's nothing else in here that mentions that... And a hedron.
I'm really stumped. I don't know what to do about that. Unless those meat letters have something to do with it. Or the comic. Maybe it was just a random mistake. Accident.
Yeah, I don't really want to have another look at that metal cylinder. I'm going to err on the side of caution. just had a horrible thought.
Another one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking up.
But I think most of these, with the exception of the ammo box and the notes, pretty much everything else is unconnected. We have a case of something going on in Chicago with a meatworks. Now that might be related to the meat letters.
Hmm.
There's the pickaxe with the black goo, which is also on the wooden head. So there does seem to be some connection between some of the pieces, but not anything between all of them. No idea about the violin. What if we played the violin? Maybe Agent Soul would come back.
Is he that? What's he? Is he making noises in there? Like something might be writhing inside him.
I hope not.
Actually, you know what? Now's a good time to ask before everybody's around.
Should we set him on fire?
If something has to be done, are you up for the task, or am I?
Sorry.
If something has to be done, then we have to do it. It has to be contained.
Okay. Give me a signal. And also, I believe the same applies to the police officer.
Yes.
No.
Oh, hey guys. I didn't hear you come in.
I'm right here.
We've located Mills. We've taken an inventory of the green box, including seeing if anything is missing. Well, something is missing now. That enahedron is missing now. Number four, that's missing. And Agent Silver is missing as well, along with it.
There's another thing missing.
Diamante.
Yes, the contents of the ammo box. That is also missing, which brings us to the locate Mills thing. Now, our mission was to secure the contents, take an inventory, and locate Mills. We have done all of those.
Agreed.
However, see if anything's missing. Something's missing, and we've got a situation. I'm going to assume at this point that we do not need to contact anyone. You know, there is a situation. We need to contain that situation.
Yeah, we need.
I think that's implicit within in our remit.
And quickly too, because this is happening fast.
Yes. Okay. Well, let's get this stuff squared away in one of the bedrooms.
Okay. Let's assume that you've put everything away, and about an hour and a half has gone by before Agent Belladonna and Deputy Eli Filigree show up.
I would have been like, "Hey, you've been recruited," or something to the fact that I like the CDC story. I would have used that.
Okay.
If that would have.
All right. So you are all together in the front room, except for Agent Chemist, who is asleep in the other room snoring, making strange snoring noises, like there's something caught in his throat. No.
So I'm going to assume I checked with my bosses and my superiors, and it's okay for me to kind of tag along with the FEMA team, like, well, maybe as a liaison or something like that.
You're kind of stuck in the same situation they are, and that's communication is difficult. Your superiors think you're out just doing your police work. You're sort of covertly doing this detective work. So,
okay,
you might not contact.
You might not want to let anyone know what you're doing.
So, one last thing. I would like you, those of you who are awake, other than Filigree, go ahead and do an intelligence roll, an idea roll. Intelligence roll.
Ooh, I got a 2.
Oh.
Oh, what's my intelligence?
I'll take it. I'll take a super.
7.
59 out of 65.
Okay. Well, let's give it to Luke, to Agent Belladonna, since she's... you guys have more or less briefed Belladonna, at least in as much as you can say in front of Filigree. But Belladonna, it suddenly occurs to you that the story happens in Brazil, in the jungle, and that the office and Skip Mill's house had the temperature turned way up.
Okay. I would like to, I have to tell somebody. I'm like, Okay, so I forgot about that. Let's see, who is it? Curly? I'll just do that significant PC glance that
you know. So subtle. I would never pick up on that.
All the paragraphs just in the look, but or something like that. Get someone aside just to be able to share it with somebody.
Yeah, actually I was gonna ask you, when you autopsied that body, did those wounds look like they were self-inflicted? Were you able to tell that?
I don't know.
No, they were kind of in an odd spot.
Okay. I thought maybe he somehow became aware of the thing that was in him and was trying to get it out.
I thought about that too, but I couldn't determine if it was self-inflicted or from someone else.
Your impression, Doctor Belladonna, is that comparing it to the story that you're now aware of, and comparing it to what happened to Agent Chemist, it looks like the thing didn't get a chance to get a good firm hold. You know.
Okay.
Oh, I just thought of something.
Go ahead.
The temperature is what I wanted to tell you.
Yes. I just thought, sorry if I'm metagaming this, tell me. But the police officer talked about the body materializing in front of the ATM.
There were no tracks. It's like he was dropped off there.
What if Agent Silver was materialized somewhere? Maybe they're connected.
Maybe. Well,
to clarify,
it wasn't Agent Silver.
He saw the body at the ATM, but it had been snowing, so.
Right. I didn't see any tracks. It doesn't mean there weren't any there, but they were covered over by the fresh snow.
Okay. I misunderstood that. Sorry.
Still, the body was. It wasn't. Yeah. The temperature of the trailer and Skip Mill's house were both extremely warm. It just popped in my head. I'm going to share that with you.
Okay.
Most seems like most all this is connecting. And I feel as though...
I remember when I first met y'all, I thought he came from someplace warm because he was dressed like he was from Florida on vacation or something. And so I came over to Skip's office and I got the grid map. Y'all were kind enough to give it to me. And what I was going to do was look for places on the grid. You know how they can find grow houses? Y'all know what grow houses are? Mm-hmm. Where they can find that by seeing who's got a big draw of electricity, or like we rent helicopters and we fly over and we look for thermal imaging. So I was thinking we could see if there were some houses that had a big electrical draw or were warmer than usual or something of that nature.
Excellent idea.
Did you find anything?
Did I find anything?
You were in the process. You were literally going through the neighborhoods, checking off houses one by one.
Okay.
Most places are abandoned. And right. Even some of the ones that had their heat on were abandoned. But you hadn't by far. You hadn't even gotten to the houses that were near Skip Mill's house.
Was Skip Mill's house on my list?
It would have been.
And yeah. I actually flipped through it. I have it in my, you know, clipboard or whatever, and I just kind of show where I was going through. And I flip through, and I find Skip Mills' house, and I put my finger on it, and I show it to the FEMA team. Okay.
And we'll leave it at this. Three doors down from Skip Mills' house, there is a house that is also fairly warm and has a power draw and is on the side of the house that the breakout was.
Oh. You gotta go there.
We'll just have to go check that out next time.
So we'll leave it at that.
Perfect.
And our players included Lucas Glasshauer, Corey Heisted, Bill Mize, Mick Swan, Jeff Wilkins, and Wayne Worthy, with yours truly as the Keeper of the Secrets. Our musical intro, Digital Bark, was composed by Kevin MacLeod and is used royalty-free under a Creative Commons Attribution license. We're currently producing 4 shows a week with music and sound effects added in post-production in order to create a richer listener experience. We provide audio-only versions of our shows free for you to download from Podbean or iTunes. Patrons of our show can now enjoy recordings of our pre- and post-game conversations. Some of the funniest and most interesting stuff occurs before and after the show. If you'd like to become a patron, visit our Patreon account. Just $1 or $2 a month will help us a lot. Like, share, and subscribe to our channel for updates on our latest shows, and leave us some comments. We love hearing from you. This is Tom Raley, together with all the members of our gaming club, inviting you to journey with us once again into the darkness for another adventure into the universe of H.P. Lovecraft and the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. Until next time, good luck and good gaming.